Good morning, church.
All right. Well, let us bring today our scripture reading for this morning, which comes from Philippians chapter 2, verses 3 through 4. Paul says, "Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility regard others as better than yourselves. Let each of you look not to your own interests, but to the interests of others." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Will you pray with me? Dear God, I just ask that you silence our hearts right now and that we just try to be in this moment with you. Help us seek after you and what you want us to hear from your message, Lord. Help us to focus on you during this time. Give us ears to hear and let us know that we have encountered you here. Use me as your vessel, Lord, and may the words of my mouth be acceptable unto you. Amen. Well, we've come to our final stretch, the final virtue in our quest to become more like Jesus. These last 10 weeks, we've been going over this remarkable display of the fruit of the Spirit, amen. And I pray that we'll be able to enjoy these fruit next Sunday during our grow time bonanza. But we have also been going through a journey that started way back in the fall. And it has taken us from what we believe as Christians to how to act like Jesus, and finally, how to become more like Jesus. Now, Pastor Eliezer asked me to preach this final week in this series, and I was all, yeah, sure, why not? I enjoy preaching. It's a great thing. And then I looked at the theme, and then I realized it was humility. That's God. He's telling me be humble. Well, it's ironic because out of the virtues, this is the one I tend to go back and forth with, and I can admit I struggle with. You know, I don't always put people before myself. It's sometimes hard for me. I get in my own way, as my mother would say. When I do something great, I like to be celebrated. And let's face it, whenever we do something great, all of us enjoy a little celebration from time and time again. Now, I don't tend to brag too much about my accomplishments, but if you ask my siblings, they would say otherwise. And that's just because they're jealous. But that's not why I'm here today. There's nothing wrong with celebrating success, all right? I'm not here to talk about that. Celebrating where God is working is all right, as long as we keep our focus on that fact, that it is God who did the work, all right? We start to say, I did this or I did that, and we draw attention to the wrong place. So it, yes, you may have done the work, but it was God who gave you the ability to do the work. We must remember that. God gave us the strength, and God is who should get the glory. Amen? Amen. Well, a person who struggles with humility, I have found, is a person who struggles with pride. If you struggle with pride, then your beliefs do not line up with Christ's way of life. Pride gets in the way and separates us from God. Pride is an independent, me-oriented spirit. It makes people arrogant, rude, and hard to get along with. When our heart is full of pride, we don't give God the credit, and we mistreat people. We look down on them, and we think that we're better than them at some occasions. And we also think that we deserve what we get, that we did this, we did that. Well, let me bring you to the key idea this week, which I'd like you to repeat after me, okay? The key idea this week is, I choose to esteem others above myself. I want you to repeat that after me. I choose... Let's try this again. So, here, I'll say, I choose to esteem others above myself. Let's say it all together. I choose to esteem others above myself. Amen. Well, our key verse, again, I'm going to repeat this, comes back from Philippians. It's Paul's letters to Philippians, and he's saying, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, basically out of pride. The next part's what really gets me. Rather, in humility, value others above yourself, not looking to your own interest, but each of you to the interest of others. All right? How many of us are really looking out for the interests of others? I mean, if we're truly looking out for each other, wouldn't our world reflect that? Wouldn't our community reflect that? Our world is so broken right now, we can barely speak to each other. Listen to the news. Heck, if you got Facebook, just scroll through a couple pages. See how broken we are. Our community, our nation, even our churches are falling apart because we struggle to put each other first. We've got a pride issue. Yes, there are some that try their hardest, but we need more to try their hardest. In this key verse, Paul is saying, meaning us as humans, we all have a tendency to look out for numero uno, number one. Rather than look out for others, we want to look out for what's in it for me. How many times have you said that this week? How many times have you been approached with a situation and said to yourself, well, how's this going to affect me? Is this going to hurt my bank account? Will this bring me to a little place of discomfort? Will this make me late to work? How can I advance in my job? How can I get ahead? The world tells you, I, me, me, me. How often do we take a step back and look out for the people that are around us? See the people that are hurting around us. They're even in our homes. Sure, we give, but when it's convenient for us. Sure, we take time, but only when it's convenient to us. That's what pride does. It causes us to focus so much on ourselves that we miss the opportunity to serve. This is why Paul encourages us to change our mindset from pride to humility. He tells us to check our pride at the door so that we can make room for others. It's what Jesus did. Heck, of all people, it's Paul who should know a little thing or two about pride. Do you know Paul's story? Have you, not that Paul, our trusty Paul, but do you know Paul's story? Dude, he's a hot mess. He was a hot mess. Before coming to Christ, Paul was all about himself. He was going around struggling with his pride issues. And it wasn't a secret. Everyone knew. He was an esteemed follower of Judaism, and he took pride in that. He was like those doctors that come out with the robes and all the regalia and the hats and everything. He was strutting his stuff because he thought he was all that in a bag of potato chips. He was a holier-than-thou Pharisee. Before coming to Christ, Paul was fiercely competitive and he tried to outdo all of his peers. He had an I'm better than you attitude. He imprisoned Christians and had them put to death. And Paul saw nothing wrong with this. Paul thought there was nothing wrong with his character. He thought he was living a faultless life. But something happened to Paul. Jesus happened to Paul. Christ transformed Paul into someone completely different than who he was. Paul's life became a miracle of God's grace. And he had to learn what it meant to put others before himself, to realize what was really going on and how to help prosper Jesus' message. He did it with the help of the Holy Spirit. Now, of course, it only takes about like a few chapters in the Bible, but it took some time, just like we take some time on our journey. So what does it mean to put others before myself? I'm going to throw another scripture for you, but I'm not going to read it. I want you to think about the Last Supper, okay? The Last Supper. When Jesus gathered his disciples in the middle of the meal, he stopped. And what did he do? What did Jesus do? He stopped and washed their feet. Okay? When Jesus washed his disciples' feet, he was doing more than just wiping away dirt. All right? Jesus washed his disciples' feet and he was humbling himself. He was doing a deliberate act. That, in that act, they would see God humbly coming before them to wash their feet, to become a servant. He even washed the feet of those he knew that were going to betray him, the ones that he thought loved him. Jesus was modeling behavior before the disciples, and he was showing them how to live a sacrificial life and invites us to take up that same sacrificial life. So whose feet are you willing to wash? A lot of us are willing to wash some feet, but maybe not others. Maybe you can think of some names of people who you rather not see their feet. Maybe not even see their face. Ask yourself, how am I treating people? Do I lift others up, care for them, feed them, clothe them, feed them with love, even when they mistreat me or disagree with me? A humble person is quick to forgive. It's not easy at all, but nothing on this Christian journey is easy. It is not easy, but a humble person trusts that God is working behind the scenes, working in those circumstances, and will right the wrongs. Now, ironically, in my United Methodist Polity group, I'm taking this course, reading all about the Book of the Book of Discipline, and learning about John Wesley's intention for our church. We're United Methodist, okay? In this room, you have come to a United Methodist church. What does that mean? We are called to be in covenant with each other. And that's what makes us different from a lot of other denominations. They don't have it in their rules, if you will. Their ethos. We are to be there together and lift each other up, no matter where we come from, no matter what denomination we are. United Methodists are the ones who embrace this idea of covenant. It's not to say that all religions don't embrace it, but we're the ones that are literally on the book. We are called to be committed to each other, serve each other, lift each other up. Now, do we do that? Some cases, maybe. God calls us to be in covenant together because when community comes together, change happens. Ministry happens. We are stronger together. I mean, we can't do ministry alone. Because of covenantal love, we can take time to listen to each other and serve one another humbly. Now, we may not like the other person, but that doesn't mean we can't love them. We can pray for each other. I pray for you. You pray for me. We can't do ministry without each other. We need others, and that's what Jesus was teaching us. So how do you think about others? When I say that word, others, what comes to your mind? The world says this person or these groups are the others and will convince you sometimes that the others are your enemy. Brothers and sisters, others are not your enemy. To quote our Bishop Latrell Easterling, who said at our annual conference this year, your enemy is hunger, homelessness, hate crimes, terrorism. These are your enemies, not people. We need to stop placing people in categories and start getting real. It's not easy to grill, but you know what? With God, we can get real. We can. Can you see people the same as you? It's a challenge. Do you see people as loved deeply by God? Everyone is significant because they are a child of God. Everyone, including the others. And Paul is encouraging us to put those others before us. Christ gives his love freely to each one of us. And we do not have to compete for that love. It doesn't matter what your job is, what your home life looks like, your political party, your race, your nationality. If you come to Christ with a heart that says, I want to be yours, he embraces you as his child and he loves you. Jesus asks us to do the same. He asks us to love humbly. Jesus is inviting you to become a new person and to think, act, and be like him. And my hope is that in these 30 weeks, this Believe study has been a blessing for you. If there has been times where you have felt lost or you have just zoned out, I encourage you to request the resources and go through this study again. The keys that you have been given are more than just ideas to store in your head. I pray that they make their way into your heart, that you humbly receive them. You know, Jesus gave us two commandments, literally. What are they? Love God, love others, right? And do that whole go make disciples thing, right? We can't do that unless we love them. We got to go love them, folks. There is no better life to live than to think, act, and be like Jesus. Jesus doesn't want our dead offerings. For his cause, it's more than just sitting in the pews. It's more than just coming here out of tradition. It's more than just showing up because it's your routine. It's called to go out and do something. He wants us to step out of our comfort zone and be a living sacrifice in his kingdom, using the keys that he has given us and that we have learned through this study, using the fruit of the Spirit that we have been discussing, using our beliefs. Will you accept his invitation? Will you go out there and be Jesus? We are to be the reflection of Jesus out in the world. Can you do that? Will you do that? Jesus is inviting us to say yes. Will you accept his invitation? If your answer is yes, go tell somebody. Spread that news out there. Spread the love. Spread the joy. Celebrate. That is something we can give glory to God. However, if your answer is no, if you still have questions, if you need time to process all of this, like most of us do, I encourage you to seek out guidance. You do not have to do this walk alone. We are here together on this journey. You can speak with the pastor or I. You can speak with a mature Christian. Speak with a trusted friend. Don't let it lie still. If God is calling you, answer. Because trust me, he will seek you and he will find you. He might make you do things that are uncomfortable and to get out of your comfort zone. The question is, would you say yes? You've been called to live a life of full mercy and grace, an exciting life in Christ. No one has to suffer alone. May we all find ways to help each other on this Christian journey. And may we all believe. Amen.